Consider tripinsurance.com to cover your next cruise investment. Buy direct from the leading insurers and save up to 40% or more on comparable plans from the other sites. Get a quote today and save from tripinsurance.com.
Okay, stand by.
Broadcasting from the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. This is Cruise Radio.
Hey, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker. Check us out online and on Facebook at facebook.com/cruiseradio.
On this show, we'll talk to maritime historian Peter Canego about the Love Boat going to the scrapyard.
Yeah, very sad there. Also,
we're all in tears.
Could I have sounded any more sincere?
Right.
Those
sincerity workshops are not paying off.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Also, we'll talk to Dorian Wagner of Shore Excursions Groups about third-party shore excursion companies and if they're really worth it. And it turns out they are.
But first, Stuart Shearer on the Cruise Guys here. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
Very, very good. Carnival Corp is investing in a new cruise terminal in Barcelona.
Well, actually, this is going to be their second. Their subsidiary, Costa, had been running Terminal D there, but essentially Carnival Corp has been operating it. So they're going to essentially have a new terminal, so that'll make it two, where they're going to invest about $27 million into what will be Terminal E, and both ports will be used on a first-come, first-served basis with Carnival Corp brands, the 10 brands will have first right to use those terminals, and then other companies may have a shot at it.
All right, very well. So Costa Concordia is up right now. I'm curious, is it still considered a crime scene?
Matt, I think it still is, because now they did find the two bodies, which is good news, which can bring some closure to the families, because they can bury their remains. But I believe the Italian government is still surveying certain parts of the ship, and they haven't released it. But work is continuing on attaching the stuff to the other side of the ship, so they can at some point in the spring refloat it and remove it.
That's very good news. What is this I'm hearing about a Wi-Fi casino being launched on Celebrity Cruises?
Well, Celebrity wants to, Celebrity was the first cruise line back in 1995 when Century debuted to offer casino gambling in your room. Well, now Celebrity wants to allow you the opportunity, luxury, and convenience of losing money anywhere and everywhere on board their ships. So they're going to have the first mobile apps, and you're going to be able to do it from the comfort of your not only from your cabin, but you could lose sitting by the pool.
Perfect.
You could lose in the dining room.
Awesome.
You can even lose while in the casino. You could lose in a showroom.
Yeah.
And you could probably lose playing bingo.
Beautiful.
And you could use your own tablets, and I don't think that you'd be able to use your tablet for as collateral, but I'm sure there's something that'll work out for you.
Technology.
But your full convenience that they'll have what they are calling a full suite of gaming mobile casino games on your personal smartphones and tablets by downloading an application at your convenience.
Excellent.
And it will they'll be happy to take your money from your Apple or Android device.
Of course they will. And speaking of Wi-Fi, we hear another cruise line may include some internet time.
Yeah, I think as technology develops, we're going to see some better packaging. Regent is the latest cruise line, taking some cues from their sister company Oceania, where beginning in the winter of 2014 going forward, passengers in the concierge level and higher accommodations. So, I mean, these are the people that are paying. I mean, first of all, to be on Regent, you're paying big bucks. So the people paying the really big bucks are going to get a complimentary 500 minutes of free Wi-Fi internet time on their account.
Nice.
Essentially what's happening is they've got a new company on. They're going to be doubling their satellite bandwidth to improve the quality that's being offered, the speed, and also the signal range to make Wi-Fi available in more parts of the ships. Bottom line is it'll be a nicer experience, and because it's costing them less, it'll cost the consumer, the passengers less. And, hopefully at some point we'll start to see, better packaging available for cruise passengers across all the fleets. But at least, the lines are acknowledging the fact that these Wi-Fi packages are very valuable, very desired by the passengers, and are taking action to meet the demands of their passengers.
All right. This week, Norwegian announced more on the upcoming Norwegian getaway.
Very exciting, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Well, we had they are going to have an ice bar on board, and it will be essentially a South Beach theme to it. We talked about that. Like many other cruise ships, they will have an ice cream bar. So this way, you want to get your favorite sundaes. You'll be able to take advantage of that. The latest announcement was the New York bakery guy, Carlo, is going to have a bakery shop on board Norwegian Getaway.
Nice.
So, it's interesting where Royal Caribbean started with a cupcake cupboard. Now we've got bake shops on NCL.
Cool. Carnival is waiving the single supplement fee on select sailings in the next couple of months. Is this an attempt to fill the beds?
Well, that's a good question, and I actually looked at the sailings. Now, the cruise lines, Matt, at different times offer different kinds of pricing incentives, but what it really looks like that they're doing on some of the short in the close-in sailings, late September, which obviously is gone, but October, November, and early December, it's primarily they're waiving the single supplement on select ships and sailings. But it's primarily on the 3- and 4-day ships leaving out of Miami, Los Angeles, Port Canaveral, Jacksonville, as an example. I saw some sailings from New Orleans. But the point is it selects ships and sailing dates. And it's good news for single passengers because that means that the cruise line Carnival will be waiving the single supplement on these select ships and sailing dates. So, it'll certainly save them some money. And hope a lot of singles will use that, take advantage of it to get away on a cruise for maybe the 10th time or maybe the first time.
Okay, here's your feel good story of the week. Cunard helped a solo rower across the Atlantic resupply. What was this all about?
Well, what's interesting is Cunard's Queen Mary II, which is one of the largest ships in the world. She's 151,000 tons, and she was dispatched by authorities, that there was a boater in distress, and this boater turned out to be a rower. And this woman is by herself, and she's attempting to become the first North American woman to row solo across the Atlantic, which is about 2,700 miles. So the Queen Mary II, which was doing a transatlantic, diverted to her location. Not to scare the bejeebies out of her, which if you think back to Tom Hanks in Castaway when right. that big tanker just appeared alongside him,
right?
As they approached, they gave her three toots of the whistle, let her know that they're coming, circled her in order to reduce the waves,
yeah.
and dropped off some food and supplies to her. Along with they spoke to her, but she has a radio, VHF radio, and of course the passengers seem to cheer her on. So she's going from she departed from Halifax, Canada. So hopefully she'll be having English tea in no time.
Excellent. Thank you, Stuart.
All right, buddy.
Cruise Radio News, now trending at cruiseradio.net.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon. It's not just a good idea to have travel insurance during the winter months or hurricane season. Every travel agent or travel expert we talk to says it is a very smart idea to always travel with travel insurance.
That's why you should check the folks out at tripinsurance.com. They have exclusive products from the leading travel insurers that you won't find anywhere else.
Yeah, they are the low-cost leader in travel insurance with savings up to 40% or more when you compare similar coverage from other sources.
What plan do you want to go with? Good, better, or best? They have coverage in all three categories that make it easy to find the right insurance plan for your budget.
You know what defines great customer service? Actually being able to talk to a human being, and they do that at tripinsurance.com. They are committed to great customer service with 24/7 telephone support before, during, and after your trip. You can also file claims online right on their website, and they keep you posted of any travel alerts that could affect your travels or safety at your destination. Check them out right now. tripinsurance.com.
Joining us now on Cruise Radio is the Director of Marketing for Shore Excursions Group, Dorian Wagner. Dorian, welcome.
Thanks so much for having us.
Well, Dorian, let's jump right in it, because the number one question we get from listeners is listeners emailing in and saying, well, if we book a third-party shore excursion, like Shore Excursions Group, and we don't make it back to the ship on time, the ship's going to leave us, because the cruise lines use a good scare tactic to make sure you book with the cruise line. What can you say to that?
And I have to say that that's not true.
And why is that?
There is absolutely a guarantee in place. You're not going to miss the ship. That's one of the things that we hear from people also. And we want everyone to be 100% positive that we guarantee 100% that you're not going to miss the ship.
Well, then let's play what if.
If for some reason something does happen, and you absolutely don't get back to the ship, we have the richest guarantee in the industry, which says, if you, for some reason, do miss the ship, we will pay for you to stay overnight wherever you are.
Okay.
We will pay 100% any travel to the next port or to home, if that's the next place.
Mm-hmm.
We will also give every person $500 additional, just
wow.
as an inconvenience fee, have fun for the night, whatever it is that you need to do. So we're super, super convinced that you're not going to miss the ship.
And all of this is no questions asked.
Obviously, proof that you missed the ship.
Well, besides that.
The ship, you're not on it, right? But no questions asked.
Okay.
We want everyone to be just 100% sure that there's no worry there whatsoever.
So how do prices compare between a company like yours, Shore Excursions Group, and the cruise lines?
So we always pride ourselves in typically having better prices. They're usually lower than the cruise lines. We also pride ourselves on having smaller group tours. Whereas you might be in a larger tour, if you book with a cruise line, it's a more intimate, a smaller group, you get a better experience.
Right. And cruise lines say to book their shore excursions early because they do fill up, which they do. Do you recommend the same?
If there's something that you definitely want to do, we certainly have more popular excursions and we'll do our best to get you on anything it is that you like to do. But it's always best to plan any kind of travel, you know, as early as you can, just so that you know you're having the exact tour and the exact time you want. We definitely encourage people to book when they know.
And do you guys do like European ports too?
Yes.
Nice.
We are great in Europe. And one of the good things about our Europe ports is we have a lot of tours that other companies don't offer, smaller sizes, and we guarantee departure on those tours. So if it's a private tour, you know you're going to go.
So let's say we were on a sailing and we jumped online and we saw where we weren't really too happy with the cruise line excursions, but we saw where Shore Excursions Group had some spots left open. Couldn't you book a couple of days in advance, or do you have to book like a week out or so?
You can book up to 3 days in advance, mm-hmm. With no additional fee. We have an expedite fee where you can book much closer in,
okay.
And there's just a small fee, and that's just because we need to get with the tour operators,
right.
And expedite everything and make sure you have, you know, your ticket and things so that you can get to go. But yeah, right up until your cruise, you can book.
Right on. And where can people go online to see all these shore excursions?
ShoreExcursionsGroup.com. Mm-hmm. And we make it really easy. You can put in your itinerary right there on the homepage, and it will show you only the excursions that match with your cruise itinerary. So whatever you see after you put in your itinerary, we'll definitely work with your ship.
You can check him out at shoreexcursionsgroup.com. Director of Marketing for Shore Excursions Group, Dorian Wagner, thanks for being on Cruise Radio.
Thanks so much for having us.
So as you may or may not know, the ship they used in filming The Love Boat recently went to Shipyard Heaven. The Pacific Princess is no longer Pacific Princess. She's no longer providing vacations and all that good stuff. So we brought in maritime historian Peter Canego to talk to us all about it. Peter, welcome to Cruise Radio, my friend.
Thank you so much. I'm so pleased to be on. And
yeah, man, I really appreciate that. First off, Peter, tell us a little bit about yourself before we dive into the Love Boat.
I'm a freelance cruise writer and an editor at the website maritimematters.com, where we review cruises and also dispense a lot of history on cruise ships and ocean liners. I also produce DVDs about specific cruise ships and my visits to the scrapyards to rescue fittings and artwork and important things that would otherwise be lost. And I run a website where I sell items that I actually rescue from the ships called midshipcentury.com. And I have a big clientele of interior designers and people who love particular ships. They want to buy a chair or some sort of souvenir from that ship.
So you've pretty much got your finger on the pulse. So with that said, let's go ahead and talk about the Love Boat, or actually its real name, the Pacific Princess.
Okay. Well, she was built in 71 in Germany. Not really a pioneering ship in too many ways, but she was part of a new generation of Scandinavian cruise ships built specifically for cruising and not like some of the older ships, which were built as ocean liners and then sort of retrofitted with swimming pools and Lido decks to cruise. This ship was out of the gates as a cruise ship, and she sailed to Bermuda as the Sea Venture. Mm-hmm. She was the very first modern cruise ship to have an atrium. So that is one of her groundbreaking things. And she also had a magrodome over her pool, which is a sliding glass dome that would open up in inclement or close up in inclement weather and then open up in good weather. So you could swim any time.
Yeah.
But, of course, the pool was the size of a postage stamp in those days. In 1975, she was purchased by Princess Cruises, which was owned at that time by P&O, and they were trying to modernize their fleet. So she was bought by them and renamed Pacific Princess, and her sister ship was already sailing for them as the Island Princess. So mm-hmm. she built this, you know, fine reputation as a nice cruise ship on the West Coast. And that made it convenient for the producers of the Love Boat when they were looking for a ship to film their new television series on. The Pacific Princess was available. And so they would go down and shoot footage of the ship sailing off and maybe go on board certain cruises and film various shots. But they replicated the ship in their studios. Everything was, of course, much bigger. You walked into these cabins that were, you know, 10 times the size of the ones that were actually on the Pacific Princess.
Sure.
And they did the show, and it was a huge, huge hit. It started people on cruising that would never have considered it before.
Were they shooting during, like, real sailings, or they pulled the ship out of service at all?
No, they would shoot during actual sailings.
Oh, cool.
But they would advertise, like in the LA Times, when they were talking about upcoming cruises, they would, you know, they would have a little asterisk in their ad saying, this is a Love Boat cruise, so if you don't want to be on when we're filming, because, of course, for some people, it's a big bonus. They want to be on, you know, they're excited by it. But
of
other
course.
People, it's like, if they're shooting by the pool, then you can't use the pool for 5 hours.
Right.
You know? So they had to let people know so that they could make the choice. But it ended up, I think all the Love Boat sailings that were, you know, notified in advance sold out, like, instantly, because people were thrilled about that.
Yeah, I'm sure. And the Love Boat series ran to what, the mid-80s?
Yeah, I think it finished up in 86, so it ran for almost 10 years. And, you know, huge, huge, huge show.
So after filming for the Love Boat, it ceased. Did the Pacific Princess still sail with Princess as a normal cruise ship?
Yeah, she stayed in the Princess fleet until 2002. By that time, Princess was well into their grand class. You know, the ships were five times bigger. They had five real pools. They had Skywalker's Disco. I mean, they had, like, all these amenities and balconies, which, of course, the old Pacific Princess didn't have. So she was really outmoded, but still a very popular ship in their fleet. But they did finally let her go in 2002, and then they replaced her with another ship that they renamed Pacific Princess, which is also relatively small, 30,000-ton, really nice former Renaissance ship, which is the current Pacific Princess. So when the original, we call her PP, the initial, went out of Princess, she went to a cruise line called Pullman Tour, which was Spanish-based, and they kept the name Pacific, and just they had to drop the Princess, obviously, because she wasn't a Princess ship. And so she sailed in the Spanish cruise market in the Mediterranean in the summer, and then went down to Brazil and sailed under charter out of Brazil for several years until about 2008. And then she was in dire need of, you know, some maintenance, And they took her to a shipyard in Genoa and started working on her. And I guess some disputes arose, and there's all sorts of different stories that are floating around. But I actually witnessed, when I visited the ship in Genoa last year, I saw where, like, the davits had been replaced, but they weren't put on properly, so they couldn't hook up the lifeboats. And it ended up being so badly done that the people who were paying for it just walked away. They abandoned the ship, and then the shipyard had to auction the ship off. So she sat for another 4 years, which is not good for any ship to be inactive, and sort of deteriorated more and more. And then they finally sold her for scrap just last month. And then off she was towed to this place in Turkey called Aliaga. And right before they brought her up on the beach, a storm came up and slammed the ship really badly, and she started leaking. So when they brought her ashore onto the beach where she was to be scrapped, she was already developing a really severe list. It looked like she was going to capsize.
Yeah.
So they sent people on board to pump out the ship, but there were some fumes that leaked from, I guess, an old sewage line, and two people died, and another 8 or 9 were injured, but they've since recovered. They're okay.
That's cool.
And so they had to abandon the ship, and then this list increased more and more, but somehow they stabilized her, and now she's just leaning over at this precarious angle. So they have to straighten her out before they can, you know, yank her up on the beach and start demolishing her.
Now, when you say the ship goes to a scrapyard, is it like I'm picturing, like a big steel yard with big steel cutting saws and everything?
Well, saws not so much, but acetylene torches, yes.
Okay.
They get in there like a welder's torch, and they cut through the steel, and then they pry everything that they can loose and recycle whatever materials, whether it's wood or, you know, furnishings, artwork, whatever. Hopefully some of it gets removed carefully. I would personally love to go over, and I am planning to go actually next week to see the ship. And
nice.
If I can rescue anything that hasn't been damaged or already removed, I'm going to, you know, do my best. Turkey's not as well known as India, where I normally go, for selling the goods. They're more just keen on getting the metal. So they kind of just go through like a bulldozer and destroy everything.
Ooh.
And then recycle it for the actual material instead of, you know, the steel in a chair will be melted down into steel, but they don't care about the chair. That's kind of their way of doing it there. So I'm going to plead with some people and see what I can do to you know, change their mind. Because I think especially with this ship, you know, she's so important in the history of cruising. And she actually was a pretty little ship. There were some nice things on her that would be nice to rescue if they're still intact.
And by the way, if you're interested in seeing this process and what Peter actually does when he goes to these scrap yards and what the ship's condition is and all that stuff, you have two documentaries now, right? On the Road to Alang and the Sands of Alang?
Yeah, On the Road to Alang and the Sands of Alang, exactly. The Sands of Alang, if you go to my midshipcentury.com webpage, it will pop up. Boom, you'll see a trailer that just sort of gives a quick snippet of what's in the video, and then there's an order link there. And also there's a link called Shop where you can actually see a lot of the items that have come off the ships that most of them are available. A couple things that are already sold out that I should probably take off the site. But people like to just go on the site to just see what's there. You know, they're not even necessarily shopping. It's just sort of a curiosity factor.
So people actually come to midshipcentury.com just to browse around for an old chair from a dining room from a cruise liner from the 40s, say. There's a market for that?
Well, there is, because what people don't know is that these ships were designed by the top architects and interior designers of their day.
Right.
So if it was an Italian ship, they were loaded with beautiful stuff that most people who like this era of furnishing and artwork would kill for, because you can't find mid-century Italian genuine stuff. You can find imitation. They're knocking it off now big time, especially the Scandinavian stuff like at IKEA. But I've got the real thing. You know, those chairs from Star Trek, those Eurosaarinen, they call them tulip chairs.
Yeah.
There was one ship whose dining room was filled with those original chairs. So I got about 50 of those. I still have like 10 of them left. Those are the kind of things that people just love, whether they're from a ship or a hotel. They don't really necessarily care. They just want things from that era that are genuine.
He is the co-editor of MaritimeMatters.com and an all-around good guy, Peter Canego. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today and being on Cruise Radio.
All right, Doug. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, that's going to do it. Don't forget about our app, free for iPhone users. Only 99 cents for the Droid users. Simply search Cruise Radio Live in your smartphone app store.
Also, if you want more travel radio in your life, we have another radio show. Actually, Matt's not in it because of a contract.
Okay. Yeah, contractual disagreements.
Yeah, actually, Matt has a contract with this radio station, and I don't have one with any. So
lots of information that the listeners don't care about.
Exactly. So, no, if you search Weekend Travel Show on iTunes or weekendtravelshow.com, you'll find another travel show there that I host.
Very good. We look forward to hearing many episodes of that.
Okay.
And from the Cruise Radio Studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
This is Cruise Radio.
Cruise Radio is recorded weekly at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Download the Cruise Radio app. Hear Cruise Radio on TuneIn Radio, the Stitcher Radio Network, the Overseas Radio Network, iTunes, CruiseAddicts.com, and on our website at CruiseRadio.net. Follow Cruise Radio on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, and Tumblr. For advertising opportunities, email sales@cruiseradio.net.
I'm your announcer.